If someone were to ask you the question, what is Easter all about? I wonder what you would say. I have no doubt you could all speak about all sorts of biblical detail. So you could talk about some of the places, Gethsemane, Golgotha. You could talk about some of the characters involved, and we could mention them, Pilate, Judas, Jesus. Maybe you could talk about some of the dramatic events that took place themselves, thinking of the scourging, the interrogation, the stone rolled away, Jesus risen. But all of those are just the historical facts of the matter, that not just the Bible, but history books tell us were the reality. What was behind it? What's the bigger picture? And why is it relevant to me in these days of strife that we find ourselves in? Well, I want to encourage us to see this morning that basically Easter gets to the heart of what God is all about himself, which is making things right once more. God is about restoration. He's about setting things back to the way they should have been. It's what God has always been about. For God's people, he's always been the one who brings them out of the mess they've probably got themselves into, and he puts them back to what was his design, his hope for them. So rescue from slavery in Egypt to freedom. From being in the dry desert place in the wilderness, he brought them into the rich, fertile land flowing with milk and honey. And in terms of their soul and their future and their spirit, he brought them from darkness to light. He brought them from death to life. It's what we see in Easter. He brought them from the cross that dealt with sin to the resurrection that brings us hope. It's the business that God is in, restoring his people. And in the Bible, we read again and again that God brought up or lifted up his people. He was rescuing them. He was restoring them. He was redeeming them. He was saving them. He was putting them, setting them back on the right path. So one example, and Psalm 40. That many people know quite well. It's the one that begins, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then goes on verse 2, he lifted me up from the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. That's what God does for his people. He gets us out of the mess and he sets us about on a solid place. And Easter and the cross and the resurrection is the ultimate example of his rescue mission to the entire world. It's a once and for all rescue plan for anybody that wants to accept it. It's what God does. It's who he is. It's built into his character. God is defined by his love and faithfulness, even in the face, even of his people, of faithlessness. So in the Old Testament, before we see the cross, and we've said over the last few weeks, that's what so many of the Old Testament accounts are pointing to. They're signposts looking forward to the Messiah who's coming, pointing to what God is going to do. They're illustrations of that. Before the cross comes in the Old Testament, we see that that was the experience of God's people. Again and again, we see that they knew he rescued them. It's what he was about. He took them from Egypt to Canaan. He took them from captivity in Babylon back to Jerusalem and to that place of Judah that had become their home. And Easter is an illustration of that for the whole world to see. This rescue plan for today coming into fruition with a difference. It is the greatest rescue plan that has impacted more people than any other, and that will go on longer and have an impact that is more long-lasting than any other, because it will go on for eternity. That is what Easter is about. It is about God coming into this world and rescuing us. So when someone asks you the question, what is Easter about? Before you think about what words come out of your mouth, the first thing it should do is put a smile on your face and joy in your heart as you recognize what he has done for you. He's rescued you. And that's what we can share. But we live in really tough times, don't we? And it's not always easy to see when we're surrounded by all the things going on around, a world in conflict. Who'd have thought we'd have had scenes in Europe that we've seen in the Second World War happening again? It seems dreadful that this could happen today. We see in our own nation inflation rising like it hasn't for 30 years. We see a disease that just seems stubbornly isn't quite going away, and the impact of all these things. And for many of us in this church, we see frailty, the challenge of life impacting us, that we can't diminish, we can't ignore the pain of that, the hardship of that. And some of you know the suffering. There are people not with us this morning because that's what they're going through, and it's tough. What do we do about those tough situations? Well, step into Psalm 126, because this is why it was written. It spells out a response for God's people in song. It's a kind of lament, recognizing how we get ourselves into these challenging situations. And it is a prayer to God. It's a plea for God to do what God does, to restore us, to restore our fortunes as he has done before. And so when the people who wrote this psalm were in this tough situation, they called on their experience of God's character, and they called on him to do it again. It's a psalm of two halves linked by this common phrase: restore our fortune. Restore our fortunes. And the first half is them recollecting a period when God did just that. He restored their fortunes and brought them back. And then the second half of the psalm says, so Lord, please do so again, because we know that's your character. The events that they're probably looking back to, and we don't know with any certainty because it's not stated, they're probably looking back to events that we read about in Ezra chapter 1 in our Bibles, when the people of Israel had been taken, conquered by a foreign nation and taken into captivity in Babylon. We read about that several times in the last few weeks. They're in a miserable situation. It is horrendous. Nebuchadnezzar conquering the people, taking them all back into captivity, enslaving them, and the conditions were horrendous. Hopelessness. What can bail us out of this? And then God steps in and reaches out to them, and he brings them back. And he does so by raising up a king, the king of Persia, who conquered the Babylonian nation and took it upon himself to release the people of God, the Jews, and return them back to the land. That would have been amazing, but he did more than that. Not only did he release them, he paid for them to go back, and then he protected them as they went back. This was the complete package, because this is what God does when he brings a rescue package to bear. And so they're celebrating. They can't believe this is happening. It's like it's a dream. So we read in that first verse, we were like those who dreamed. They couldn't believe it. I want to ask you a question, therefore, on Easter Sunday morning. You've just listened for 40 minutes of praise and worship as we've recounted what God has done. Tell me something. Is that you this morning? Are you almost feel like you're in a dream state? Could this be possible? Did God really do this for me? Are you here because it's Sunday morning and this is what you do on Sunday morning? You come and meet with your friends, you sing some nice songs, then you go away again, have a cup of tea and get on with life. Or did you come this morning in particular because this is the day when we rejoice? Why? Because God stepped into this world, even when we weren't looking for him, and did something amazing to save us. When we didn't know, as the Bible tells us, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God says, when we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God reached into this world. He gave his son. God himself stepped into the world and then surrendered himself to die, to be arrested, to be crucified, but more, to take upon himself all of that wrongdoing, all of that sin, all of those things that will always keep us at a distance from God, that prevent us from ever being in close proximity to God, the Holy God. And he took that on himself and was nailed to a tree and died for it. It's him saying to us, yes, I know you're guilty, but I'll take that. I'll pay the price for you. That's what my Jesus did for me on Good Friday. And that wasn't the end, because then on Easter Sunday morning, he was raised from the dead, a sign of what would happen to us. He had conquered death. Sin was now gone. We were washed clean, the tablet wiped clean, forgiven for anybody who asks him, who believes. That's the gift of Jesus. And then on Easter Sunday, raised from the dead, a sign of what will happen for us. Death is not the end. An eternity in God's presence is his gift. And we had to do nothing for it. It is his gift of grace and love to us. All we have to do is accept it and believe it. What a gift, what a God we have. That's why we should have a smile on our face on Easter Sunday morning. That's why our hearts should be bubbling over. And that's the response of these people. Oh, you feel like this is a dream. Do you recognize what he has done for us? They said, their mouths filled with laughter, tongues were full of songs of joy. Is that you this morning? But you come back to me and you say, yeah, but these are difficult times and I'm struggling a little bit. Yeah, well, remember, so were these people, the people writing this psalm. Remember, they were in times of strife. And they said, Lord, we remember what you have done for us. Now do it again. Restore our fortunes. And because they know the faithfulness of God and they know how God does this, they say, restore us like the streams of the Negev. The Negev is a desert in the southernmost part of Judah. It's a dry, arid place. And they were picturing what God would do for them as being like suddenly streams of water gushing through the gullies. And what would they do? They would transform it. They would bring life. It would become green. And things would start to grow. And that's what they're calling out to God for. That's the promise for you this morning. And you may be going through a tough period. This may be a hard season. And you may feel dry and barren, and it may feel like it's hard to see the way forward. But for any who would accept Jesus, that's the gift. That's what Easter points to, this promise of more to come. And if you're feeling like you are dry spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, if things are tough, the call is to come back. Come back and recognize Jesus today. That's what the people were crying out for. Do you remember Jesus meeting with a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 by the well? And he asked the woman to pour him some water, and she did so. And he said to her, you know, anyone who drinks this water will become thirsty again. But he went on, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And he proved it when he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Do you know, in Acts chapter 3, we read the invitation. It urges us to come to Jesus for times of refreshing. Is that you at the moment? Do you need a boost? Well, in Jesus, you have that opportunity. The promise is for you if you call on him. We are in tough times, but the hope that Jesus brings is that it will not always be like this. In his timing and in his way, and certainly in eternity, for all who accept him, there is a promise of rejoicing that will come. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. And you may feel that this is a season where you're full of tears. I want to encourage you. Put your trust in God and invite him to come into this situation and bring you that joy once more, to bring you the joy that one day will become complete in eternity when we will be in his presence and there are no more tears. That day, wow, what a day that's going to be. But until then, we have the hope and confidence of a savior. The harvest will come. But we do go through these seasons which are tough. And the writer into the psalm recognized that. He was probably speaking, as I said, about the return from exile. But with all of those incidents, there were times of suffering. Whether it would be when God rescued his people, when they crossed the Red Sea and the enemy was completely wiped out and they were free, but it came after a period of suffering. Or when God brought the people back from captivity in Babylon, brought them back to Jerusalem, the temple celebration, their mouths were filled with joy and songs again, but it came after a period of suffering. When Jesus was raised from the grave, the disciples must have been full of joy, their songs just bursting out of them. But it came after a period of suffering. That's the nature of the broken world that we live in. But God rescues us from it. If for you, this is a season of tears, the encouragement of this psalm is to go back and declare what God has done, the great things he has done, and cry out unto him in expectation of him doing it again. Now, I could leave it there, and the encouragement for us for Easter to go back to what God has done. But in these tough times, there's a call for us to do something else. Do you know, it's been interesting to observe what's been happening overseas and listen to what's happened in Ukraine. In the horror of that situation, it has been good to see what the church has done, to see in Germany and Moldova and in Poland, churches ripping their pews out and saying to people, come on, don't worry about how we're going to worship God, we'll deal with that. You come and use this place. They've been seeking to be a blessing. In times of COVID, it's been good to see the church saying, what can we do to bless you? Stepping up for neighbours, to get alongside people, to be a blessing, and bringing hope, the hope that is the message of Christ, of God at Easter. And I pray that that's what's been going out abundantly to the millions who fled Ukraine and are now in Poland. But you notice in this psalm, there are other people mentioned. Yes, there's a reminder that God is in the restoration business, but there's a telling line in here that says, but the impact spreads more widely than that. When we share the life and the reality and what God has done in us, when we share this great thing God has done, it is other people who gain the benefit, just as we've seen in Europe and in COVID, in other situations. And verse 2 says, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. So that bursting out of them is what we see. But look what happens next. Then, only after our mouths were full of songs, then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Do you realize from the very beginning, right from the promise of Abraham, who was going to be the father of the nation, it was the promise that Abraham's race would be a blessing to the nations. And in Jesus, hope is hope for the nations. It is for us to be a people who bless those around us. This Easter, I don't know whether you're going to be meeting with your family. I don't know whether you're going to sit around a lovely meal and have an Easter Sunday lunch or something else. But you know, the greatest thing you could do for your family, for the people around you, is share the great thing God has done for you at Easter and share that hope so that the nations are talking about the great thing God has done for them, and that will bring hope into these dark times. If all of God's people could do that, if all of us could be sharing the blessing that God is to his people, what an impact we could have on this world. Well, I want to close with a song, and it's a song which invites us to do just that. In the book of Numbers, there was a blessing that invited God's blessing through the person giving it to those around. At the start of COVID, a similar blessing was given as a song and put on the internet for everyone to see. It was then copied by churches and nations and Christians around the world, and something has been compiled for this Easter that seeks to give that blessing back. Let me share this with you. Even when we weren't looking for it, God reached out and gave the greatest rescue mission the world has ever known. That's the blessing of Easter. That should fill us with joy, but let's make sure this is not the best kept secret the planet has ever known. The point of that video, the point of God preparing his disciples for what was to come, was to say, over to you. Now share the blessing. Let's be a people who bless those around us this Easter and in the days to come. Let's pray.